Hello and welcome to the Townsend Training Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Townsend, and I will be looking at bringing you all the latest information and education that is out there and turning that into usable information that you can actually use to improve your life, reduce your body fat, increase muscle, improve your happiness, and generally live an all-round healthier lifestyle. Hello, podcast. So today's episode is turns into a bit of a strange one, actually. I have a guest with me. He is Chris McGeegan, PT. He's a local PT down around where I live. We've known each other for a good few years now. Both PT'd in the same gym at one point. Both have done a bit of outdoor boot camp. And I would say both of us are in about the same position in terms of our careers going forward and stuff like that, with some slight differences. But today's episode, he basically has an episode, he has a podcast as well, and this actually turns into, we almost merged the two as we're going through, so it's a bit of a cross between basically a behind the scenes look, if you like, the way we work, and then we move into sort of Chris's themed podcast where we basically do five things we like and dislike about the fitness industry, which is really interesting, really, really interesting. But yeah, so the next bit you'll hear is just me and him basically having a chat. He does like a swear word or two, so that is your warning. I think there was a few in there. But the next bit you hear will be me and him, and we basically just are sitting down having a chat. Does get a little bit rushed towards the end as we are encroaching on the yoga community's space. So it's got a little bit of a rushed finish, but we get everything in that we want to talk about. So hopefully you enjoy the next episode with Chris McGeegan, PT. Hello, so welcome. I've already done a little introduction. In front of me, we are live today. So we are live. If there's a bit of noise in the background, it's from one of the fans. Yeah. I have with me Chris McGeegan, PT.
Hello.
Is what I'm going to refer to him as. Chris, welcome.
Hello, you all right?
I'm very good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate.
Tick along with his coffee. He always spots me going into the gym where he's getting his coffee, so he's already got that already. So before we start, I've given a little introduction about who you sort of are and how I know you sort of thing.
Oh, but that's kind. Can't wait to hear that.
Yeah. Tell people, who is Chris McGeegan, PT?
Chris McKeegan PT is a former fat kid who discovered lifting weights and now isn't so fat anymore.
I like it.
Pretty much.
So you've got your own journey, your own background.
Yeah, so to cut it really short, I was morbidly obese pretty much throughout my entire 20s. Got to start my 30s and thought, I don't want to do this anymore. So I signed up to a local boot camp. I have a habit of not naming and shaming people because I'll probably get taken off. But I went to a local boot camp, actually got some decent results, and then started packing on muscle, and here we are today.
Nice. And now you use your experience now as a PT to help
people. Pretty much, yeah. So I can sympathise with a lot of people who are obese and struggle with eating and food and stuff, because I've been there myself, so I appreciate how difficult the struggle can be, but then also I've done it as well, so my thought process is, if I can do it, everyone can do it. Some people just need that little extra push or some extra tools, you know, and I feel that's where I kind of come into it.
So I always, from seeing what you do, I always think that you are, is people resonate quite easily with you, whereas other people, you see PTs who are the PT image, if you like, and a bit standoffish. But I always, you know, when we worked together at the other gym, we always thought that people almost attracted to you because you had that story and because you were normal.
Yeah.
Like, you were a normal guy who had his own journey and basically was like, right, if I can do it, I can use my experience and my knowledge now to help you.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what
it's
I
It's funny thought. You say that looking like a normal guy, because I remember when I first started PTing and there would be guys there who'd have, like, you know, massive chests and they'd have ripped six packs. And I always remember just going, no one's going to take me seriously. I look nothing like that. Yeah. But as I've been doing this for longer and longer and longer, I've realised that it's those guys. I'm trying my best not to swear because I don't know what your rules are on swearing.
You swear if you want. You swear.
But I've noticed that it's the guys that have got, you know, big chests, pumping juice into their arms, rip abs. They tend to be A, boring fuckers, and B, just because you have a great physique doesn't make you a good coach.
Spot on, yeah.
So I like to think that, okay, I'm not super ripped or I'm not ever going to get on stage in my pants, but at the same time, I like to think that I'm reasonably good at coaching people.
And then getting people from
A to B.
Yeah.
I always, and it's the same thing, like, I don't know, if you ever go to Curry's and want to get your computer set up for the first time, I fucking hate jargon and lingo speak. Just make it as simple as possible so that everyone gets it.
Tell me what to plug in, tell me what to switch on.
Literally, what button do I press?
Yeah.
Give me a basic idea of how it works. Let's move on. That's always been my kind of, my forte as such. I keep picking up my coffee cup, realising it's empty.
It's empty, mate. So, I would like to take this. This is going to be a bit of a... I've got no plans for the episode. We're going to go with a behind-the-scenes look at two local personal trainers, fitness instructors, whatever, health professionals, whatever you want to call us.
I like that, health professionals.
Health professionals. And basically, a little bit of what we do during the day, how we run our day, you know, how we run social media, just a little, basically a behind the scenes look at what we do. Because people often don't know. They basically just see what's on the front of it and go, he must do that, he must do that, he must. And actually, it's far from it.
And you know what? This is a really interesting point as well. And I hope fellow PTs do listen to this, because a lot of PTs, and I'm not naming names in particular, because there's no malice towards them, but I find a lot of PTs seem to think that in order to be successful, you need to be on the gym floor for like 13 hours a day.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, well done if you are getting 12 clients a day, but fuck me, your productivity must be shit.
Yeah, as in working on your business and not in it and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, so that, yeah, we'll get more into this, but yeah. I recently went to a seminar and that, I honestly couldn't tell you how much that opened up my mind.
That is a big change that I have seen from the way you do stuff.
Yeah,
that
big time.
Huge.
It was all logical stuff as well. We'll go a bit more into
that. That's an important point as well, actually, is to become a better coach, I think you need to do things like that, as in you always need to be going on courses, on business courses, on like health education courses.
Learning. Listening to podcasts and audiobooks, looking up things online. When I'm at home, I tend to have YouTube in the background. And, you know, I've got a lot of different interests, but fitness obviously one of them. And every now and again, a fitness video will come up and it'll be things like, 5 reasons why you're not getting like chess games. Yeah. And I'll watch them, I go, actually, yeah, that's a valid point. I never thought of it.
And you might pick up one thing from it.
Yeah. So it's always learning.
I'm the same, like when I do a lot of driving in the van and I'm always podcasts on, I've got a list probably of about 30 that I listen to.
Yeah, same.
Play them, and they're just sometimes like just on in the background, on and on, just picking up little bits every now and then.
Yeah.
I think that's important. Do you have a structure to your day?
Yes and no.
Go.
A typical day will be, I wake up at 4:30, 5:00. Because I usually have a client at 6, which is when the gym I work in opens. So when I wake up, depending how prepared I am the day before, I might do my Instagram post first thing in the morning. So I catch the people who are waking up, they get the post. Doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes it does. But if I do wake up at 4:30, 5:00, I'll go get myself ready, get dressed. I've recently stopped eating breakfast until much later in the day. So I don't eat first thing in the morning. So I get up, leave the house, I'll stop at 24-hour McDonald's and grab a coffee. I will come here, train my first client till 7, and then religiously from 7 till 9 is my training time.
Nice, yeah.
Again, if a client wants like the 7 to 8 slot, fair enough, I'll let them have it and I'll move my training a bit. But I always like to get it done. first thing in the morning, because then that way...
I think it sets you up for the day, doesn't it, as well?
It's set, I mean, I've always been an early trainer. Yeah. I don't get on well with training the last thing in the evening, because I'm, you know, I just want to go home and watch TV or whatever. So I do my training, and then I have clients from, say, sort of like 9:30-ish till whenever.
Yeah.
I try not to, especially now, try and do more than 6 a day, because I feel once you get past that sort of 6 hour... It's more like... and again, without picking names, I have seen throughout the years people do the same thing with their clients. Back to back.
Yeah, the same session for 5 different people.
Yeah, and I'll be the first one to admit, I don't plan my sessions to the T. I always have an idea of what I want to do with said client.
Yeah.
And then I'll structure it, and then I'll have branches of, if that machine's not available, what can we do instead?
Yeah, yeah. Like, adapt it as you're going through, sort of thing.
And that was one thing that I learned, especially when I did my first January in the gym. Oh my goodness. You're just having to fight people.
It's coming back.
I remember when we were at our old gym, and this is one name I will say, because he's a top dude, Ryan Andrews. me and him both had a client, both doing legs, and we were fighting over equipment because we just kept going to the same bit. It's like, get off! So I don't plan my sessions to a T, whereas other PTs will. And that's fine, that's up to them. I just like to be a bit more of a renegade about it. I've completely forgot why I went on that point. So the reason why I won't do more than 6, because after a while you just end up kind of like cutting and copying the same bits. You kind of get a bit fed up of, how's
your
weekend?
Yeah, you're losing
interest. And it's not the client's fault, but when you've had the same conversations and the same chit chats.
Client number 7 or 8 through the door, it's not the same as number 1.
And it's all, you also get to a stage where you're just like, oh God, I've got another 2 to go. Yeah. And I just thought that's not fair on the client. They're paying X amount for your time. You should be totally invested. So,
it's a good way.
So I'll try not to do more than 6. And then when I finish, or if I have gaps in the day, so if I have like an hour gap in between clients, that's when I get the laptop out, do my daily email, send that off, do a little bit of social media, blah, 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 blah. And then... So when I do my last client, that's when I want to, that's when I try and switch off from everything. Yep. So, you know, if I do like an Instagram story, for example, it'll be less gym focused. It's me walking home or whatever. Rinse and repeat until the weekend.
So you've got a good start and finish almost. That's something that
I think it's important.
I used to struggle with that massively.
Oh, I think we all did when we first started, because, personal training is... It is weird hours. Like we're in the gym first thing in the morning, we're there to the end of the evening. And when you're first starting off, you just want that money.
Yeah.
So you almost don't care who you train as long as
you say yes to everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's when you start, coming at 6 in the morning, you do 2 hours, you go home for a bit, you have a nap, you come back, do a bit more, go home again. Nap again.
Backwards and forwards.
You're off your face on coffee because you're just drinking coffee non-stop. And there'll be times I'll be at the gym till 10, 11 o'clock at night, and then you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Whereas now I've kind of put my foot down a little bit and I've gone, look, I will not PT people after 5 o'clock unless there's no other way around it and if they're not a twat.
No, and they're not going to keep you chatting for another hour afterwards.
I don't mind that so much, but it's... Yeah, so I've now just got to a stage where I'm a bit more selective with my clients. And when I do my sort of consultation, it's more for me to find out more about them, but also to see if we're going to click.
Yeah.
Because if we're not going to click, then...
It's almost pointless.
It's pointless, because I could tell you to do stuff and you just won't take it in, so...
Yeah.
That's pretty much my day. When I get home, I like to put on YouTube and just kind of have that in the background. Yeah. I'll go through my phone, reply to messages I haven't done throughout the day, because one massive change that I have done is my phone stays in my pocket. I used to kind of, if like we're moving to another bit of equipment, I'd quickly check my phone, check my text message, quickly reply and put it back in. Whereas now I'm just like, just leave it.
Leave it away.
Just leave it away. Because again, Susan down the road's paying you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, whatever, an hour of your time. Check your phone, like, finish your session 5 minutes early if you want to, and just...
And then get...
And then quickly catch up your messages, bam, next client comes in, done. That's another golden tip, actually. Do 55-minute sessions. So you've got 5 minutes at the end if you need to have a quick piss or if you need to fill your water bottle.
Nice, tip whatever. Of the trade. Like it.
Yeah, it's... It's again, just through years of experience, people do things differently, but I've seen some PTs will let their clients kind of warm up on their own, which is fair enough, and they kind of do their odds and sods. But I just like to finish 5 minutes early,
and then
5-2, that gives me 5 solid minutes. So if I, yeah, like I said, if I need to run downstairs and grab a coffee or grab a snack, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much my day. Play a lot of video games.
Nice. Like
that.
Let's talk.
I want to know about your day. Come on.
You want to know about my day? So I get up now. So I've changed it recently after a few various bits and pieces of changing in my life, which people who regularly listen to this will know about anyway. I get up at 5. I do 2 hours now of university work. So I'm doing a master's in sport and exercise science.
Check you out. I always wondered what you were studying.
Yeah. Now so I sort of do 2 hours of that, hoping that the boys don't wake up before 7. So that gives me a good 2 hours then of... And I am very productive in the mornings. I can type away quite nicely in the morning.
Yeah, because I'm guessing because like no one else is up, all your mates are still asleep. There's
no distractions, nothing.
Get on with it.
Yeah. So I do that 2 hours. I then basically blocked out 2 hours that I then spend with the boys and basically doing housework-y type stuff and basically get them off to school. Then from 9 until 2:30, I then have a sort of PT, boot camp admin work, general, what I would call my daily job. Work,
yeah, so your odds and sods.
Odds and sods, making sure, like, payments, you know, in that time, there's like an hour and a bit in there that I then go to the gym.
Yeah.
That I have for myself. Whether it juggles around, sort of, I like to try and get it done like 9 o'clock-ish on the dot, so it's done, dusted, then it sets me up nicely.
Yeah.
Then, 2:30, I then go and collect the boys from school. And then I've got another 2 hours then of basically blocked out till 5, where I then, that's family time.
Yeah.
So in those times, my phone is out of the way now.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's in a different room.
I've noticed that you've started doing your phone off on a Sunday.
Switch off Sunday.
How's that going?
Switch off Sunday. Second week I've done it now. I'm like, good. Unbelievably, like, not feeling like you have to check it. Because, like, let's be honest, right? A lot of our work comes through that thing there.
Oh, 100%. As you said, like recently my social media has been going through, and I'm on it quite regularly, but I'm trying more so just to leave it to the side. Yeah. Like,
it winds my missus up. She's like, you're always on it. Before I was like, no, I'm not. And then it wasn't until I actually sat down, like, actually, you are.
Do you know what? It's when you get that little notification on Sunday going, you've been on your phone for like 6 hours a day. Yeah. You're like, Jesus Christ, I need to rein it in a bit.
So I've now tried to basically have like some hours in the day where I haven't got it. So it doesn't distract. And then on a Saturday night, I switch it off. Goes away. Like, I don't switch it off, but all the notifications are off anyway.
Yeah, like airplane mode.
But Facebook's off, all that sort of thing. And then I don't then log back on until Monday morning, usually about 9 o'clock.
Oh, nice.
Because then I've still got my 2 hours in the morning where I've done university.
Yeah.
2 hours, and that's when I then turn it on. And I kid you not, this Monday, I caught up with the world off Facebook in about 3 minutes.
Wow.
Boom, 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 boom. And there was literally nothing on there that was worthwhile.
Do you know what? A lot of people I know do that, and they say they turn the phone off, and when they turn it back on, it's, most of the notifications are just shit.
Yeah, like, it's just people have done this.
Like, there's nothing really worthwhile.
It was 60 or 70 notifications. I sort of said, I was like, oh, my word, this could take off. Actually, there was next to nothing worthwhile on it.
It's almost like your emails when you go, oh, I've got 600 emails.
And none of them.
There's like two that are important. The rest are just... Black Friday.
The thing I sort of joined in with that as well, sent me own few out, but
got in, so
yeah, get to 5 o'clock. Then on a Monday and a Wednesday night, I am outdoor boot camp 5 till 9 o'clock at night, pretty much. And then on the other nights, I've basically got a couple of hours there where I basically do any catch up work. So that can be university work if I've got an assignment due in, any other sort of additional PT work. But then at 9 o'clock,
off.
Everything's gone.
Off.
Yeah, regardless. And I put that to the test on Tuesday night. So I've got a big assignment that is due for next Friday, before I go away. I've done absolutely none of it. I was sat there Tuesday night, typing away, and it got to 8:55, and I was like, on a bit of a roll, if I'm honest. And I was like, I'll carry on. And I actually said to myself, no. So I took that, turned it off and left it. And come back the next morning and went straight back into it and probably got more done than I would have done if I carried on. So it's all about sticking to it, sticking to the structure and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, then switch off Sunday is basically like, I try and avoid booking anything on the weekend. I've got my morning boot camp on a Saturday morning, but then I'm back home by sort of just before 10. And then anything after that is nothing.
Just done.
Yeah.
Again, this is a valuable lesson, especially to new PTs, like who do anything. Yeah. Working weekends, man.
Yeah. Like,
just no.
It's one of them, isn't it? It's one of them, like you become self-employed and take the risk, which it is a risk.
Oh, it's a massive risk.
And all the stress that comes with it, to work your own hours.
And then you end up working all of the hours.
Someone's like, you know, I know you're starting to integrate some online stuff as well. And someone said to me the other day, they was like, when you can work from anywhere, you work from everywhere. And it's
funny you say that. I've started, when the audiobooks aside is Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week. So I've just started that. And that's, like, I got asked the other day, where do I see myself in 5 years' time? Ideally, in 5 years' time, I want to be on a beach in Sydney about to celebrate Christmas, doing my online work from there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we can't PT forever. It's not a career unless you really kind of make it to the big, big boys.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's good that you've kind of
Getting the structure in nice and early.
Get the structure in, but also you're now looking at the next step of your university degree. That's something that's
that for me,
forward into my mind. Yeah. It's like, what do I do next?
That for me is to go, what more value can I add to people? So what do I need to learn that I can take my coaching to the next level, if you like?
Do you know what? I've just had an idea, because we've only got like 20 odd minutes.
Oh,
we were going to record both our podcasts separately. Why don't we do it all as one?
You want it as a one-er?
Yeah, why
not? Let's do it.
What I was going to get you to do on my podcast was to list 5 things you like and 5 things you dislike about the fitness industry and discuss them. I just think it's always hilarious
A lot of these will roll into what we spoke about, actually.
Oh, so it worked even better. Nicely.
So what do you want first? Do you want a like or a dislike? So we're now
hang on, if we
over
start... So how do Ryan and I do this? If we start with the negative first, that means we end on a positive.
As if I've got 5 negatives. I struggle with negatives, you see.
Oh, mate, negatives is easy for me. I had about 25.
So do you know why I think I struggle? Because I have become very good. If I don't like something, I just block it out.
Yeah.
Like, I've become unbelievably good at that. That's more over the last few months.
Again, that's a good thing, though.
Yeah. If I just almost throw it out the window. Want a negative first?
Yeah, why not? So this is 5 things that Greg likes and dislikes about the fitness industry.
So one of my biggest dislikes is not being able to get people to trust you because of bad previous experiences.
That's one of the biggest things about being a personal trainer. So you sit down with a client for the first time and you're working out the calories ever. And I always like to make them guess, like just to see if they even have a concept. And they go, right, you're allowed, for example, 1,600. Oh, wow, that seems like a lot. I mean, not being funny, Susan, but you've been eating way more than that, because that's why you're in the fucking state you're in now.
Yeah.
Like, in a nicer way possible. But it is true, though. You could, like, the one that I used to hate, and I still do hate, is, won't lifting weights make me bulky?
Yeah.
No, it won't.
No.
And it's almost the media. Like, yesterday, the Daily Mail reported...
I saw that, on your thing.
Oh, fucking hell. Like, that's not how it works. But...
Yeah.
And, again, it's the media and bad education that's come mainstream. That everybody now kind of latches onto. But when we go, no, actually, you don't need to do X, Y, and Z diet. You just need to do this. And they kind of... Yeah, when they don't believe you, it's just like...
Yeah. It's like the freedom of... The ease of access to, like, information that's out there, and then actually being able to look at it and go, well, that couldn't possibly be right. Because some of the things you see, you look at, and if you don't know, you'd look at it and could well believe it.
Oh, but yeah.
If you've sort of got a rough idea of what you're sort of talking about, you can look at that and go, well, that's completely and utterly wrong.
That's complete nonsense.
Yeah. So trying to get people to trust because of bad experiences or what they've learned previously from bad sources and stuff like that.
It's
one of the things that I find really difficult.
I also find a lot of people who've had, I don't want to say a bad PT, but when they've had PTs who haven't been as knowledgeable. And I ranted about this a little while ago, but there's a Geordie Shaw star who's been sharing her weight loss journey on her Instagram stories, and her PT is an absolute fucking ball bag. As in, he made her do drop sets on squats. I was like, your face alone just said it there. That's fucking dangerous.
Heavy squats. As in,
yeah. And he was like stripping it. And it got to the point where she collapsed and he was like, no, get back up. And it was like, whoa, dude.
Yeah.
I can see it, like experiences like that.
Yeah.
And then they then come to another PT and they go, but you're saying completely different things.
And it's quite often, I used to have someone that used to tell me this. And it, like, as soon as you hear that, you're like, this is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Me, like,
I've had a few of them, but again, I just say to them, look, if you don't trust me, let's
divorce. Like, there's a reason you've come to me, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because what you've done before hasn't worked. If it did, you'd still be there.
Yeah, exactly. Right, let's move on to your first positive.
First positive then is there is no right or wrong way. So
I'm going you go.
So there are certain principles that you have to adhere to achieve certain goals, if you like. But there are many methods of getting there, and there is no, me and you might have different opinions on something. They could both be right.
Oh, 100%.
They could both be right.
So, like you said, there's certain principles, but how you get to said principles.
Yeah.
Like calorie deficit, for example. If you want to intermittent fast, or if you want to do Slimming World, if you want to do all your meals in one hit, that's fine. As long as you are getting to said principle, then that's fine.
Yeah. There's many ways you're getting from A to B.
I mean, there are certainly wrong ways of doing things. I get what you're saying. There's so many different ways of getting to things that there isn't one that's ultimately right and there isn't one that is ultimately wrong.
Yeah.
I guess once you kind of figure out in your head there is no right or wrong, it makes training so much easier and so much more fun.
Yeah, and that's almost a bit like what you were saying earlier about not having to plan sessions to the team.
Yeah.
Unless you've got a really specific goal.
Yeah, like
then actually just keep it enjoyable.
Yeah,
like, and that's what I with my outdoor sessions. And people ask me, it's like, how do you come up with some of the stuff you do? I'm like, I just come up with the most wacky, enjoyable sessions I can think of.
I was going to bring this up. Didn't we both work for Parafit at roughly the same time? And I remember once I did an outdoor Olympic Games kind of thing, where egg and spoon race, but quality. I made them use med balls and stuff. Nice. And again, people are like, how did you think of that? I honestly thought of it on the way up in the van when me and Roger are going, right, we need to think of a plan, let's go.
So I've done stuff like snakes and ladders and put like a massive ball on the floor and all that.
I've done card games before.
Yeah,
there's so many ways of getting people to do stuff, but it's as long as you keep it fun and enjoyable. Because
then they'll come back.
Yeah, I mean, even for us, like, we find ways of making the gym enjoyable. So I put on my noise cancelling headphones and I put on the loudest, screamiest possible.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes I listen to audiobooks while I'm doing like my treadmill bit at the end or whatever. But when it comes to heavy squats, get me that horrible Slipknot nonsense. But it's all about keeping it enjoyable and doing it the way that suits you.
Yeah.
So I agree with that. Although there are definitely wrong ways of doing things.
Yeah. What do you want now? Negative?
Let's do a neg.
So my next one is getting people to do the basics right.
Mate, I told a girl off yesterday for...
People are always looking for the shortcut or the secret. And when you tell them...
That there isn't.
Almost
like track what you eat, move a bit more, add in some weight exercises, a little bit of cardio if you want to do it. Done it. And people are like, well, it's not that simple.
It is. Right, honestly, it is that simple. It really is. So, my training with people is doing the basic movements right. So I saw a girl in the gym yesterday who was doing, on the leg press, she was on her side and doing one-legged leg presses. I kind of went up to her. I was like, why are you doing that? Oh, I saw some Instagram model do it. And I went, you do realise that she'd done that to get likes on her post.
Yeah.
That's, like, just do the basics properly. I'd say to people, if you could only ever do 5 movements in the gym, bench, squat, deadlift, pull up if you can, and military press. Yeah. Oh, and bent over row, I suppose, 6. So you don't need to do a massive array of movements. Just do the basics properly.
Do the basics, yeah.
Track your calories. Don't fucking lie. We know when you lie.
Yeah.
I caught one of my clients out on Instagram eating a bag of Doritos in the bath, and when I checked her macros later was it on there? I was like, you do know I saw you.
I quite often see
eating
this.
Doritos in the bath. I mean, first of all, what a babe, but come on.
It's always the scones, and I was like, well, you've put the scone in there, but you've not put the jam or the cream. So, like, well, I didn't really put a lot on them. I'm like, you did put a lot on there.
You fucking did, because if you eat a scone the way I eat a scone, you put a lot of cream and jam on it. Same with, like, condiments. Like,
yeah, a lot of people don't do it.
A lot of people skip it, and love mayonnaise, but the reason I've had to cut back is I've gone, fucking hell, it's a lot of calories in mayo. But mayo is delicious.
Nuts.
In my opinion. So yeah, just do the basics properly, and you'll get far more than putting on a booty band and doing a somersault off a box.
Yes. So do you want a positive?
Yes.
A positive that I think about this industry is the more you learn, the more you realise you don't know.
Yes.
There is no end to learning in...
Correct.
It's always progressive.
So I'm just going to quickly put my coffee cup to one side. So there is a particular PT in our area, and again, I will not name nor shame them, but they've given themselves a tag. And again, I'm not going to say the tag because everyone will know exactly who I'm talking about. I think you know who I'm on about. In fact, I'll write it down on your notepad. Does that ring any bells?
Yeah.
Yep, so we know who we're talking about. So he's given himself this moniker, and it's like first and foremost, there is no way you know everything there is to know about fitness and health, especially with the way you train and your physique. Yes. Like, no.
Yeah.
And I also think, like, that's quite an arrogant statement to make. Now, I always say, if you are going to be arrogant, back it up.
You need to be able to back it up,
and I don't think this person does. Again, just like it would be really, really, really arrogant if I walked into the gym now and go, right, I am the all-knowing. I know everything there is to know, because I don't.
No.
No one does.
No.
And you should, like you say, you should always be looking to learn, and it's the PTs that don't that you should keep a red herring for. So the one, the level 3 teaches you fuck all.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. It literally, all it teaches you is human anatomy, carbs are bad, and don't step over a bar. That was pretty much what we got. That was pretty much what we got taught.
Yeah.
Things like the female menstrual cycle impacting their weight loss.
Yeah.
Things like muscle growth, how to do correct form.
You learn that after.
Yeah, calories. Yeah. All these little things that we talk about, I've had to learn through other sources and other means. And, you know, they don't even teach you how to market yourself. So the level 3 is a very basic, very basic qualification. And if you've got some ball bag PT who's claiming he knows everything because he's got a level 3...
Avoid.
Fuck off.
Yeah,
avoid. I learned more in my Olympic lifting course than I did in that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's...
So
I just think no matter what you specialise in life, you should always be learning. Because if you're not learning, then life's boring.
Then you're not getting anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, like...
No new experiences, no progression, no...
Yeah. I mean, I like to know how things work. So way before I became a PT, I used to work, believe it or not, for an agricultural manufacturing company. And I always wanted to know, like, how all the little bits in these grass cutting machines worked. And it was a very, very complicated diagrams they were showing me. And I still have no idea how they work, but at least I knew what that part was called.
Yeah, had a bit of an understanding.
Yeah. And I think it's important that if you don't know how something works, either ask or look it up.
Find out. Yeah.
Because there are no such things as stupid answers. Sorry, stupid questions. Yep. Just stupid answers.
100% agree.
Right, let's go on to your
next dislike.
Oh, I've seen your final dislike, and every guest has talked about this.
Yeah, I've only just scribbled. I struggle to find dislikes, if I'm honest. My next dislike is how underappreciated the health professional is, and how much people are not willing. People expect everything for nothing from I find from a health professional. Whereas if you are in financial debt, should we call it, you will then go and you will pay a service to
a financial advisor
without even questioning it.
Or if your car breaks down, you're straight on the phone to the mechanic.
Yeah, and you will
pay. Your mechanic goes, I charge 60, 70, 80 pounds an hour, you just go, oh, fuck's sake, all right, okay.
Yeah, you do. Whereas when people come to a health professional or a PT or whatever you want to call us, they'd be like, oh, well, that's a bit expensive. It's like,
is it?
30, 40, 50 quid or whatever it happens to be is not that expensive when it will change your life and it will make you healthier.
See, now it's funny you bring this up. I don't know if you get this, but I get people messaging me going, all right, mate, how much you charge your PT?
First question.
Don't answer them.
Yeah, first question.
Because straight away, how many people have you sent that to? So you're into bargain hunting. So you're not coming to me because you like me. Or
like the skills that you have.
Yeah, you're just thinking of the price.
I need the cheapest one.
Yeah. And it's even got to a stage now where when I first started, oh, you're a mate, I'll knock a few quid off. Now I'm like, nah.
No. Yeah.
Just no. And again, oh, that's expensive. Yeah, but you went out on Saturday night. Now, as I work in the nightclub industry as well, so I know what you young people are getting up to.
Yeah.
And it's not just a couple of Jaeger bombs nowadays, is it?
Yeah.
So let's say you go out, you have 10 Jaeger bombs, let's say they're 3 quid a go. It's more than that. But let's say that's 30 quid. You're then buying a baggie of some geezer in the toilet. That could easily be another like 60, 70, 80 quid. Your taxi home. Then roll over to the next day, you're hungover at McDonald's, you order a Domino's because you feel like shit. So there you go, that's 200 quid you have spent accumulatively on a Saturday
night. 12 hours. Yeah.
And you do that on a regular basis, yet you go, oh, £40 an hour, that's a lot. Yeah. So you just think, nah, shut up, mate. Just in the bin. But yeah, I agree. I think we are undervalued. Big time, especially like when we're putting out content on Instagram and we do that for free, so we're not getting paid by companies or whatever.
Information.
So we're putting out that information because we love what we do. So yeah, I think
we've got a couple of minutes. We'll move on nice and quick. We'll move on nice and quick. So my next positive is community. I don't think there is an industry that brings people together like the health and fitness industry does.
Funny enough, I mentioned in my 5 likes and dislikes, I used to do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu quite a lot, and the community in that is something else.
Yeah.
Same with CrossFit,
boot camps.
Yeah. The only place I find gyms are a bit weird. Like, some people communicate and get on quite well, then you get others who just want to be left alone. That's fair enough.
Then I always find the people that go to the gym they like to then be part of not so much an immediate community, but they want to be part of a community that looks or feels like something else.
Yeah.
So they may not know the people.
Almost like the home away from home.
Yeah, a bodybuilder. Go to gym, might go in on his own, headphones in, boom, boom, boom. But actually he's in the gym because he wants to become part of the bodybuilding image over here, if that makes
sense. And he chooses that gym because it's close to his house.
All that sort of
stuff. His or her house, whatever. But then, you know, you start to chat to people, you get to know others, and before you know it, even though you want to be isolated when you're working out, you are still becoming a part of something. And I also think that everybody that comes to the gym, we're all here for a purpose.
Yeah, so, that's it.
You know, let's pat each other on the back rather better. Than because there's one thing that pisses me off is when you get some gym dickhead bro who points and laughs at a person on the treadmill because they're a bit overweight. It's like, mate, at least they're making a fucking start, you know?
Yeah, that's
just
it.
Just don't, you know, I call people out for that. Like, there's no need. Just don't do it. Just no.
So let's...
Let's
finish, shall we?
Let's finish on a positive and a negative.
I've got a like to dislike.
Because it's the same thing.
It's on both lists.
And it comes up on every single person that I do this with.
Is social media.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start with why you hate social media.
Why I hate it is because it's... Number one, it's a major distraction, but also it allows people to put out information and stuff that is wrong, and it gets to go to a lot of people. But then on the flip side is it allows me to put information out to a lot of people.
Yeah, funny enough,
and it's free for most of it.
Yeah, Ryan Andrews said the same thing, like the amount of dog shit information you can get out there, but then you've also get a lot of good information as well. My biggest problem with it, and it doesn't happen so much anymore, I think, because I think Instagram put a block on it, but you get twat from anyways fucking ball bag or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they go on and they start suddenly promoting Boom Bod or Skinny Coffee. Yeah. Now think of how many impressionable young people, girls especially, will look at that and think that that is the right way. And you just think, if your morals are that low, that you're willing to damage people, like, cause mentally that can fuck people up. Like, it really can. And they go, I'll get that physique by drinking decaffeinated coffee. No, you won't.
Yeah.
Ball bag from Joey fucking Essex's back pocket or whatever. She got that physique through surgery.
Yeah.
Like, not saying they all have, but some of them would have had BBLs or boob jobs or whatever. And
all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
And there's stuff that they don't really tell you about. And then you get these young girls who feel that they have to wear fucking makeup to the gym and false hair. And it's just... Yeah. Just no.
I think it's one of them things you have to use, but be clever about how you use it, how much you use it.
Yeah.
And then actually looking at what you see and being able to, like, almost critically look at it and go, could it work? Will it work? Is it like to work? The chances are, if it is very far-fetched, then is it going to work? It probably ain't going to work.
Yeah.
It probably is not going to work.
That's a very good point, because I remember I had a chat with a guy ages ago, and he said to me, if you suspect that somebody's on steroids, they probably are.
Probably are, yeah.
So now I'll have an eye out. I'll go, yeah. Mm. And it's not just dudes that are doing it nowadays. It's females as well. So again, you get these females who are taking steroids and, you know, they're a fitness model. They do it for a living. They're constantly dieting and yo-yoing all over the place. They're heavily photoshopped. Yeah. And then you get Lizzie down the road who goes, I want to look like her. And you kind of have to explain to Lizzie that, look, that's
might not happen. Yeah,
that's this girl is in probably the worst beat. We'll be done in 2 minutes.
Okay,
2 minutes. Sorry, so, we're just being interrupted by some
yoga. The yoga community.
We don't want to disrupt the yoga community, so
we'll end it there. So what we'll try and do.
Social media is great and bad. Yeah.
What we'll try and do is we'll try and split this across both podcasts. So this has been the Townsend Training Podcast and
the Chris McKeegan PT podcast.
We hope.
I love the fact this has kind of ended up being a podcast for both of us.
A mixture. So we hope you've enjoyed it. Something slightly different. Some positive and negative. A little bit behind the scenes. Let us know what you thought about it. We will tag both of our social media handles after we just discussed it in great length there. Give us a follow. Let us know what you thought about it. And then we will maybe do another one after Christmas.
Yes.
Once again, thank you for listening. And we'll see you again.
Goodbye.